Yo, yo. Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, hold on. Let's go live.
Huh? Hello? Yo.
Yo, you were live.
Live.
I'm your host, I'm Dr. Stone, and this is Dolan.
It's the Zombie Master, and I can barely hear you, man.
Well, that's a shame.
Yeah, now you sound better.
I think you're just, you know, going deaf.
If you give me an old joke, I swear to God, I'm going to punch you right in the dick.
I wasn't going to make an old joke. I know young people that are deaf. But anyways, we are back from a little extended hiatus. We took an extra week off because of the 4th of July. But now we're back, and we're going to dive in to McFarlane Toys, one of those enduring toy brands. And before we jump into that, I just want to ask, anybody pick anything up?
I haven't picked anything up, not recently, no. I haven't really been anywhere to pick anything up that's interesting.
Well,
hi, welcome to
any
Chili's.
No, I haven't picked up anything at Chili's either, no. I picked up some baseball cards here and there, but that, I guess you, if you consider that, I've kicked up some...
I consider that. That's a collection, bro.
Yeah, I picked up some jersey cards, you know, some relic cards.
Okay, that's cool. Who'd you grab?
I grabbed a couple of mats. I got Pete Alonso, two Brandon Nimmos, and a Jeff McNeil.
Okay. Very cool. Hey, that's a collection, especially like the relic cards. So here's my question. Were these just the solid color pieces of the jersey, or did you get some stitching in there?
The Alonso and the McNeil have stitching in it. You can see part of the uniform. You can see some of the pinstriping in it.
Okay.
The others are just solid swatches, so.
But, like, nothing with, like...
Numbers or no.
Numbers or letters, nothing? No. It'd be really cool to pull one of those, I'm not going to lie.
Oh, well, these I picked up at a show I was at this weekend, so...
Right.
And the McNeil and the Nimmos I got for $10 for the both of them. So,
okay.
So, and the Alonzo I picked up for $5, and the other Brandon Nimmo I got for $2.
$2 on a relic card, not bad. That's a win any day of the week.
Yeah. So that's all I really got this week. So,
I have managed to get my hands on some pretty primo figures recently.
And what would those be?
Thanks to some special help of somebody that is able to check stores that I'm not. But over 4th of July weekend, oddly enough, ended up getting a hold of the Chase variant Mr. America figure.
Cool.
That's the Stars and Stripes.
Yeah.
Also managed to get a hold of the Ruthless Aggression JBL. Now, this is the U.S. champion attire with the red, white, and blue hat from, I want to say it was Great American Bash.
It was, yes.
He didn't stay in the collection long because I found somebody that was looking for him, and I know where there's a little bit of a surplus of him, And they had a figure that was really high on my list. First time in the line, Eric Bischoff.
Ah, the Bish.
Beautiful figure, man. Both head scans are on point. So it's got regular Bischoff, and you can use that in either collection, either your Ruthless Aggression or your WCW NWO, because he still looks young enough to be in that era.
Right.
My favorite accessory with him is the old man head from the Chuck Palumbo Billy Gunn wedding.
Oh, God.
Yes.
The three-minute warning.
Also, stumbled across an Elite 100 Rock, which I was super stoked about because that one comes with the Brahma Bull Belt. And I don't know if you know the story behind that.
I vaguely remember something with the Brahma Bull Belt.
So whenever he was feuding with Austin, Austin had the Smoking Skull, the Rattlesnake Belt.
Yes.
And they were going to have The Rock have his own title with the Brahma Bull tattoo in the center plate. And, you know, he was supposed to debut it when he threw Austin's belt off the bridge. You know, you take this piece of garbage with you.
Mm-hmm.
The belt got lost in the mail. And by the time it was delivered to WWE, they'd already scrapped the entire storyline, so the belt's never been seen. It's been made as a replica version. It's been made as a foam toy version back in the late 90s. And now it's an Elite Mattel version on the Elite 100 Rock with the black and blue SmackDown Brahma Bull jersey.
Hmm.
And also, just because it looked like it was a pretty fresh case, Tori Wilson from Ruthless Aggression.
Nice.
Yes. Next month will be a cool one because they should take the payment and ship out the first time wrestling attire Danhausen Hook 2-pack.
That's going to be hot, I got to say.
That's going to be hot, but not as hot as something that's just starting to hit stores. And if you guys see him at your local Walmart, do yourself a favor, pick one up because the price is going crazy.
What is it?
It is the Walmart exclusive Ultimate Edition, No Way Out, Eddie Guerrero, and WrestleMania Rey Mysterio.
Oh, it's a 2-pack.
No. Single figures. Both figures in the line. So it's got Rey whenever he won the world title with the Mayan headdress and everything.
Right.
And then it's got Eddie with the black and white Scarface shirt, the No Way Out tights, the title, a couple of head scans that are just absolutely beautiful. That figure is currently number one on my list.
All right. Well, I might be hitting a Walmart in the next day or two to pick up some stuff. So if I see it, I will grab it.
If people, the problem is right now this figure, both of these figures are skyrocketing because people don't want to be patient. They don't want to wait for them to hit their area because of scalpers. And let's be honest, suck scalpers.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like.
Okay, cool. They have a grasp on supply and demand, and they create the demand. Good job. But right now, like, these guys have got this figure going for between, depending on where you're selling, between $1 and $200.
That's fucking ridiculous.
Because it has not trickled inland yet. I've been watching the pattern. This figure is hitting the East and West Coast first and trickling in.
Right.
So, unfortunately, me in the Midwest, I'm going to be the last areas to get
it. Unless I find it and ship it to you.
but the thing is like, I'm not going to be one of those people that's like, yeah, I just found these at Walmart. I'm paying $30-$40 a piece for them. You can buy yours for $175, shipping included.
Let me put it this way. If I find one at the store, whatever I paid for it is what you're going to pay for it. I ain't going to rip you off.
That's beautiful. And here's the thing, man, like, that's a figure that I have two of on my list. I want one to have open. I want one to keep closed.
So you want one to present or, post up, and then you want one to breathe?
Pretty much, man. Mm-hmm. Pretty much. The only downside is, like, the Ultimate Edition boxes, while they're not as deep as Elite boxes, they're wider.
Mm-hmm.
And the hanging peg is in the center of the box.
Okay.
So, So actually hanging them up and displaying them on the wall is going to actually require like a 3-inch hook.
Damn.
Yeah, they're literally made for pegs.
Hmm.
I keep my collection on a shelf.
Hey, you know, that works for me, man. It's like I was, you know what sucks? If I had known about this the other day, I was just there Sunday. I was at Walmart. I was at two Walmarts, actually. And if I had known, I would have looked, but I didn't know until now.
Well, I mean, the Walmart exclusive Elite line has been really cool so far. I haven't seen the first wave, period. If I want it, I'm going to have to buy it online. That's whatever. But it was a re-release of two previous Ultimate Editions that scalpers have run the price up to $275. They added cooler accessories, and they re-released Bret the Hitman Hart, WrestleMania.
Uh-huh.
And they re-released Triple H from his first world title win.
Okay.
The next one that they're taking down is going to be The Rock, Attitude Era Edition. They gave it way cooler accessories. The first one came with a microphone, sunglasses, and a T-shirt with the Brahma Bull on it, his first T-shirt.
Here's a question. Go ahead. Finish your statement.
The new Target exclusive Rock is like the attire he was wearing around the time of the Royal Rumble I Quit match.
Okay.
And
the jogging suit, right?
And the jogging suit from the I Quit match.
Right. Now, did they ever this is going to sound stupid. I only reason I ask this because I've seen a lot of people ask for it. Have they ever released a Val Venus figure?
The last Val Venus figure that was released was by Jax. It was the Classic Superstar line. That head scan is what you're going to see on every Val Venus custom. I had one about 12 years ago, made by a fellow named Jason Williams. I don't know if he's got a new shop or if he's just gone from the collecting and customizing community. But this was like the purple and gold, the purple and silver tights, Val Venus with the towel, and it was perfect.
No, I was just curious because I figure if they're going to release any figure, that would be interesting to see what kind of accessories that they put in that package.
Well, they would never release any of his T-shirts. I would have to get a custom one made for the box, and it would be the Cox locked and ready to unload.
Ready to unload, yeah.
Yeah, the fucking cum shot shirt.
Have one where he's wearing the purple helmet.
I got an extra DX helmet around here, too.
But, sir, they said that was glue.
Thank you, Mr. Producer Man, for chiming in behind the glass.
So, how about you, Mr. Producer Man? Have you picked up anything?
No, just some AIDS. No. no.
Today.
Yeah, she's staying in the cage. I actually got a box of old PS3, PS2, and 360 games.
Okay. Nice. Which one of you guys collects basketball cards?
I have a ton, but I'm trying to get rid of them, actually. I have a bunch. I'm trying to unload them. Why? You want know somebody who wants them?
Fuck no.
I guess not.
No, he's looking to get rid of them too.
No, I got a ton that I'm trying to get rid of.
Well, see, what I have is from a raffle that I won some years back from another podcast, Die Cut Dudes. Check them out.
Okay.
And it had a box. Do you remember the movie Blue Chips?
Jack. Jack and Nick Nolte.
Yeah, well, it was actually like a movie about basketball players, Blue Chippers.
Yeah.
I believe was the name of it. It's a factory sealed box of those.
That actually might get a few shekels on eBay if you put it up there, if it's still sealed.
It's never been opened, but the outside plastic is roached.
As long as it's still technically, if it still has the regular thing on it and the seal hasn't really been broken and the packs are still there, I don't see why you couldn't get about maybe 25 to 50 bucks for it.
Well, if either of you guys are collectors, shoot me your address and I'll ship them to you.
I'll look around.
If you know me, we always need stuff for the show.
Exactly, dude. And these are still fucking factory sealed. There could be some some decent stuff in there. But are we ready to step into the Wayback Machine again?
Let's do it.
So this time we're going to go back a little bit farther. We're going to go back to 1994. So it kind of ties in because that was...
Spoon Man!
Yes. Well, not just that, but that was still like the beginning of the height of the Power Rangers. But they had a rival on the toy shelves.
Spawn.
And that fellow's name was Todd McFarlane. So in 1994, Todd McFarlane was actually with Mattel. And he was trying to help them design the first wave of Spawn action figures. And if anybody remembers the first wave of Spawn, oh my God, were they good. Who all was in there? Spawn, Violator, Overkill, Clown. I think another variant of Spawn.
Hey, Ryan, what year was that blue chip box?
96.
Thank you.
And what had happened was that Todd and Mattel, they couldn't come to an agreement on the way that these figures were going to look.
Mm-hmm.
So McFarlane reacquired his rights to his figures, and he opened up his own company that was originally called Todd's Toys.
Todd's Toys. Interesting.
But Mattel had an issue with that because they thought that that might be confused with Ken's little brother, Todd. So
okay.
He switched over, and that's where we get McFarlane Toys, the McFarlane Toys that we have today.
Yes, sir.
And we're going to talk about some of these killer toy lines that he has. I've got a page bookmarked here. Give me 1 second. I will pop it up for you, John.
Okay.
Where is it?
Right, Blue Chip, was that on your upper deck?
Let me grab the box, I'll tell you. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, sir.
I'm only finding baseball. I'm not finding basketball.
You looking on eBay at all?
I'm looking at certain like places that sell cards.
Let me look on eBay.
I just found a Derek Jeter Blue Chip 96 prospect. $1,200.
Yeah, no, this is a basketball series.
What's the actual name of the box?
Hold on, I put it up and I can't remember where I put it.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Road is neither a road nor an island.
Discuss.
I forgot where I put it, so I didn't lose it. Discuss. I think I know where it's at.
Barbara, we love you. Your music is like butter.
Butter.
Did somebody say butter?
You sure that wasn't nice, season... 94, that movie?
It might have been 94.
I just found a link on eBay. It says the complete set. It's 1994 Skybox Chips, Blue Chips trading card set. Complete set is only like $13.
Yeah, it's not an expensive set, but it is still a factory sealed set.
And let's see. I want to see if I can get this, pull this picture up, because I want to send you a sneak preview pack. That's not going to be the original. I thought I found a picture of the original box, but it's not. It's just a preview one.
The original box looks like a basketball skin.
And I'm
but
looking
it's cardboard.
For, obviously.
McFarlane here, out of Todd's Toys, and into McFarlane, and he creates his first line of action figures, that's Spawn, and it's basically off to the races. And ever since then, Todd McFarlane, Uncle Todd, has had his hand in just about everything.
You got that right. You got darn right on that one.
For one reason and one reason only. The intense level of detail that go into those sculpts. They still, they don't, I believe he's one of the last companies that actually still hand sculpts all of their figures.
I can believe it.
That prototype figure is still hand sculpted. And as soon as that first Spawn line hit, and I don't know if you remember those, but when they came out, it was the figure with one of the comic books.
I actually had the comic book, the first comic book. I sent you a picture. Is that what the cards, is that what the box looked like, Rye?
Let me see. Where'd you send it?
I sent it in the Skype chat. I just found something that says Blue Chips. I don't know if that's the one what you got.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's Skybox, yeah. I found it on. I found it online. Somebody's selling that whole box for $2.98 a pack.
Not bad.
No, so that's it, okay.
I mean, I'm sure that's what they went for, you know, right around the time.
Right.
Now, back to Uncle Todd.
Yeah, I had the comic book. I had the comic book for the first issue of the first comic book. Don't know what I did with it, but I had it.
It was a great comic book. And, I mean, everybody loved it. Spawn was like the new... I don't know. I mean, would we consider him an anti-hero?
Yeah, I think you can, because technically he wasn't really a good guy, but he wasn't really a bad guy either. He's kind of in the middle.
He was the devil's minions.
Yeah, he was the general of Satan's army, Malbolge's army.
He's like in what they call in wrestling, an in-betweener, or what do you call that thing?
A tweener.
Tweener, yeah, he's a tweener.
And from there, he started putting his hands in everything. He got into pop culture. He got into music. He did a military line that was absolutely breathtaking. Sports, fantasy, I mean, fucking everything. If you could do it, Todd was in on it. And it was, and you know, with the pop culture, it was like, it was TVs, it was movies. I mean, even to this day, he's still doing his classic Spawn line, but the evolution of the character, I mean, you can clearly follow it throughout the series.
Right.
So what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at some of the best McFarlane figures ever. These are the top 20. I'm sending you the link, John.
All right. All right, pulling it up now. Got it. Aha, the first one I saw. I had those, not this version, but I did have a version of them.
Oh, I'm sure.
Had to. That's the one McFarlane line that I had. And I continue to still have a shit ton of.
Right. Well, I mean, it's because they always made really solid toy lines. Always.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So let's start off the list with number 29. And that is going to be from his Walking Dead license, which was one of his more popular lines. Let's be honest, he did everything with that line.
Right.
And that would be the Skybound, Michonne, and Pets.
And like I said, that was the detail in those pets, the way you could take the arms off and put them back on, that was badass. I just thought that was badass.
Well, you know, and that was a thing that McFarlane always, it's always had with his figures, is like just absolutely killer articulation and likeness.
Yes, totally.
And that's the beauty of getting those, you know, hand-done head sculpts, basically.
Did they do real scans or did they actually do sculpts?
No. McFarlane hand sculpts. If you're looking at a McFarlane toy, you're looking at a hand-sculpted head.
Well, it's funny you mention that. As you said that, I looked on my shelf. I have a loose Daryl from Walking Dead, and the one I have loose is the one where he had the bandana on his face.
Yeah. Oh, the Gravedigger.
The Gravedigger, yes. That's the one I have currently. I have it's one of, I had somebody had given it to me, and I have it. But I'm looking at it. Go ahead.
Wasn't a bad figure.
You know, and it's just that, you know, with the gloves, the articulation, and the just, even the hairline looks good.
my only complaint with McFarlane articulation is sometimes the joints are weak.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a plastic issue or what. It's not good.
Well, you know what it is. I know this is not a line we're talking about, but you guys don't remember. Ronnie, you might remember it. I don't know. The G.I. Joes when they had the swivel arms.
I remember the G.I. Joes with the swivel arms.
Like you said, me and Ronnie are like the same age.
But the only problem that I had, that I saw when I had those, is that when you tried to put the gun in the hand, the thumbs would always break off. You know, and no matter, then you would always have your guy sitting there fighting and he's basically thumbless.
Yeah, and you know what the problem was with those? Is most people never angled the butt of the hand grip, the butt of the gun there. They never angled it the right way to fit into the hand, but there is a right way to do it and keep the thumbs.
But you know what I'm talking about. The other thing about those figures, and then we'll get right back to that, was I had found a whole bunch that when I was cleaning out part of my laundry room, I found a whole bunch of them. I go to pick them up, and all the elastic inside dry rotted. They basically fell apart.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I had some killer ones. I had some of the original first series ones of those that they had. The Grunt, Rock and Roll, Gung Ho, Snow Job, all the originals. They all fell apart. And that pissed me off. it's just that when you brought it up about the articulation with that, it made me think of that. I know it's off topic, but it just...
No, you're good. It fits. McFarlane's Walking Deadline is going to get its own episode just for the simple fact that there was one thing that he did that absolutely amazed me to no end, and that was the build sets.
Because I have the complete build set collection, too.
I had them. I sold the whole collection when I sold all of my build sets. I sold all the Walking Dead, all the Game of Thrones, all the South Park.
Yes, I know you sold the Game of Thrones.
I moved all those collections, and it was because, honestly, they took up so much space in my collection.
Yeah, I have to admit, that's like,
it's a reality.
I bought, and the thing that sucked is, I bought two of each set. So I had one I opened, put together, and one I kept sealed in the box.
Yeah.
The only one I didn't get a double of was the Michonne one, the last Michonne that they put out.
Yeah.
I think that said Wolves Not Far.
The way you are with the McFarlane ones was the way I was, or with the Walking Dead ones, is how I was with the Game of Thrones. And unfortunately, Game of Thrones got canceled after one wave, whereas Walking Dead did quite a few waves, if memory serves correct.
They had two that they did that I saw pictures of that McFarlane had debuted at a Comic-Con, but then they just didn't release them. One was the Rick Tank from season one with the horse.
Yes, I remember seeing that one.
And they had one with Maggie with going to Terminus.
They did that with the Game of Thrones ones too, actually. So we were supposed to get two large build sets for that line from McFarlane. And actually, I remember I go to all of Uncle Todd's live streams.
Uh-huh.
And he actually answered my question, because I was straight up, I was like, hey, Uncle Todd, you want to hook a lifelong fan up with those unreleased Game of Thrones build sets? And his reply, which was the biggest bullshit reply ever, was, you know, I would if even I had them. Motherfucker, of course you got them. Like, that had the minifigs that had, like, more characters from one. It had Viserys and Khal Drogo and Dothraki. They did Plaza of Pride that would have came with a fuck ton of Unsullied, Daenerys in the blue dress with Drogon on the chain.
Right.
And the one that I would have fucked, if they would have said $500, I would have said sold. Whenever they had this massive build set, this was like a Lego Death Star size one, I think. And that's my opinion on it.
Well, it's funny.
It was the attack on the wall.
Oh, that would have been hot. But you know what it is? That's almost as. It's almost like when I originally saw the preview of the one where Rick's on the horse with the tank and the wall and Glenn hanging over the building. Because that's the way it looked, if memory serves correctly.
And the walkers were all on the horse.
Right, yeah, that's exactly it. I wanted that one so fucking bad because I thought that was the most badass looking set in the world. And I'm like, fuck, and that's when he canceled the Walking Dead line and he just killed it off. And I still to this day don't know why he killed it off.
Because the sets were getting bigger and the price point was getting too high.
But then here's this question. Why did he kill off the figure line?
I don't know, because I can tell you, like, whenever Gravedigger Daryl came out, and he was a Walgreens exclusive, if memory serves.
It was.
He was a peg warmer. They clearanced him out. After the first two waves of those figures, they died down. But we'll get into that later.
Okay.
Let's move on to number 28.
Okay.
Who is honestly one of the coolest characters in the Spawn universe. This looks like a comic version and not the movie version that had like three variants. But we're talking about the Lord of the Underworld himself, Mal Bolger.
Now, here's the thing. I unfortunately don't remember too much of Spawn because I kind of grew away from it. I don't remember this, so you'll have to explain this one to me.
Well, this was the leader. This was the Lord of Hell. This was their representation of Satan.
Okay.
Hold on. Have you ever seen the movie?
I haven't seen the movie in God knows how. It's been so long since I saw it.
Do you remember the movie? Do you remember it?
Vaguely. Very, like, spotty.
You see him in the tail end after he kills, or after he goes after Violator.
All right. I have the movie somewhere. I'll have to go back and rewatch it.
You also see him right there for just a few frames at the beginning whenever he asks Simmons to be his general, to be his spawn, and to have a legion of spawn behind him.
Oh, can we just agree with that movie, even though, like, everyone bashes that? It's probably one of John Leguizamo's greatest fucking achievements.
Oh, my God. He was so good.
He played the clown, right?
Violator, yep. Baby.
Clown and Violator.
I remember because the makeup, if you had told me that was John Leguizamo, I would have told you you're on crack.
Fuck the makeup. When he was a clown, he had to literally walk on his knees the entire day.
Like I said, if I didn't know that was Leguizamo, I could never have told you.
Yeah.
He was just that good.
They did great makeup. Next up on the list of the greatest McFarlane figures comes out of an old line called Movie Monsters. This was the lead into Movie Maniacs, where he got so many fucking licenses and made so many killer figures. I know a few people that have them all. I hate their faces. But we're talking T-1000 from Terminator 2.
I remember seeing these on the shelves back when Toys R Us was a thing.
Yeah, like, let's not lie, the shotgun marks look kind of hokey, but the blade through the eye, and you can see all the way through the figure, that was a fucking killer detail on top of a killer head scan.
Oh, I'm not denying the way it looked. I mean, trust me, it looked great.
Absolutely. I agree.
But the problem, the only problem is, it's like, with collections like that, it's like you could lose yourself literally if you collected just about everything.
Oh, yeah. McFarlane collectibles and McFarlane-only collectors, like they're kind of the hoity-toities because some of these McFarlane collectibles are ridiculously priced.
Oh, totally. Totally.
And I'm not saying anything against them because they are 100% fucking worth every penny.
Right.
You're not going to find anything even remotely near quality-wise that's going to look like who you're purchasing unless you're buying McFarlane.
Right. Totally.
Moving down the list would be number 26, and that's a Series 21 figure that was probably one of the coolest Spawn figures that he produced. Spawn
season 21? Series 21, Spawn 7, right?
Yes, it was the seventh iteration of Spawn 7. It was in Series 21.
Right, because you said 26, which threw me for a second.
Sorry. But, I mean, Spawn is one of his most made figures, but every now and then one comes out that just blows everybody away.
Right.
And this one was like a sitting Spawn figure. It was more of a statuette.
No articulation type deal.
Right. He's sitting on a throne, and he's holding the skull, and he's looking at it.
I mean, the detail, I'm looking at the picture now. The detail just looks sick.
Like, I can look at this figure and literally, hear Hamlet.
Okay.
Do you not recognize the scene?
Alas, poor York. I knew him well, Horatio.
Yeah.
I know the speech, not verbatim, but I know the first few lines.
Coming in at number 25 is one of my all-time favorite McFarlane sets. I have it personally. I had it as a kid. Of course, as a kid, broke it. Bought it again as an adult. It is proudly displayed with Steve the Hunter in all of his glory, and that is the McFarlane Movie Monsters Werewolf playset. This is one of my favorite McFarlane lines, John.
Never saw it. This is another one that escaped me because I remember the monster line, but I don't remember everything that was released in said line.
Let me just tell you, if you'd have seen these out in stores, you would have bought them because they weren't just figures. They were smaller. They were smaller scale figures, but they came with dioramas.
Oh, okay.
So, like, the werewolf came with a base that was the ground and a hollowed-out tree. He came with a hunter that you could dismember.
How lovely.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was great. His arms came off. One of his legs came off. His head came off. And his name was Steve.
Steve?
Yep, Steve the Hunter. And
I would have rather called him Lucky.
And the werewolf. I know you can see that picture, dude. It is nothing compared to what it is in person. That werewolf is straight fire in person. And there's also a little hole in Steve's back. If you remove one of his arms and one of his legs, you can fit him inside the hollowed out tree and he'll just kind of hang there, stuffed in there to be eaten later when he's ripe.
That's way, that's crazy, man.
That's crazy, but that's a cool little detail that adds just a little bit more of an imaginative spin to a kid that could grow up to be the next Wes Craven.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Now, there were others in this set. There's actually two that they came out with for Frankenstein's Monster.
Okay.
The first one was Frankenstein's Monster strapped to the bed in the lab, all kinds of little accessories, and he came with Igor. And you could actually have Igor carrying the brain, you know, to his head.
Very cool.
And then in series two, they dropped another Frankenstein's Monster that was Dr. Frankenstein.
Oh, very cool.
And if you put the series one playset with the series two playset, they stacked on top of each other and made a mini laboratory.
Very awesome, I gotta say.
I have been trying to track all of them down for years. I have only managed to find two at a decent price where the boxes weren't completely roached.
Right.
The second one is the sea creature.
I mean, Creature from the Black Lagoon?
No. It's the sea creature.
Okay.
And it's a fish monster. And it's killer. It comes like the...
That was his... I believe that was his prelude to Swamp Thing.
I believe you are correct, because these were like miniature scale figures. John, I'll send you a picture of it. Or actually, Mr. Producer, if you could pull up the sea monster set and put it in the chat for John, I'd appreciate that.
Yeah, let me see what I can do.
Yeah. So, John, the diorama was cool. It came with a sea bottom, three posts, and then a translucent blue-green water effect.
Interesting.
Set on top of them. Had a cutout where a sinking wooden boat would set. The boat was just the front and the captain's wheel. Came with a diver. The diver had real hair,
mm-hmm.
a removable diving helmet. And these are like the 1940 style. So it was the big brass one. One arm where he was bitten, one regular arm, and a knife.
Nice.
This was the first one in the set that had like an action accessory, because the boat had a harpoon gun that fired a harpoon.
Oh, that, I have a question about, you mentioned harpoon, made me think of something, but if it's not on the list, I have something I want to bring up about something. It'll make sense later.
That's fine. Some of the other ones in the set are like Anubis, the Egyptian god, the mummy. Well, the Egyptian god is one of the accessories for the mummy.
Okay.
But the mummy, they had Dracula. The Hunchback of Notre Dame, the Phantom of the Opera, like all your classic horror movie monsters with these miniature figure dioramas. Absolutely dope. I love seeing the werewolf on the list. It took me forever to track one down, and I got a hell of a deal on it for like $15.
Even better.
And actually, I found the Creature from the Black Lagoon at a toy store in Illinois that I'm going to plug real quick called I Had That Toy Store. Check him out on Facebook. He's got a ton of stuff. Great price. And he ships. And he knows.
I thought you were about to say Creepy Comics.
No, but he already knows. If any of those come through his shop, get a hold of me first. Up next on the list are two more characters from the Spawn universe. Coming in at number 24 is going to be Sam and Twitch, the Crooked Cops.
Yeah, I saw that.
Do you remember them from the Spawn comics?
I want to say yes, but it's... They look... The way they look, I definitely remember it. But it's like I said, it's so... It's been so long. So I have a hard time remembering everything
yeah.
that...
And the thing with McFarlane is his figures haven't gone without controversy. There was a big controversy over the Spawn character, Tony Twist.
Okay.
Because the hockey player. And that figure ended up getting pulled.
Really? Why?
because they were like, you're using a player's name.
Huh.
There were some people that got it whenever it was released, whenever, it, you know, like the early release shit. But for the most part, that's a pretty heavy figure to get a hold of. We're going to move on, and we're going to get into where McFarlane reached his hand into the video game licensing companies. And he did a set of, I mean, they're slightly bigger than G.I. Joe's, but he did Halo figures.
This is another thing that I never played the video game. I was never interested in the video game, so I know nothing about the line. So anything you tell me, it'll be first time hearing it. So
if you get a chance to play it, John, I'm just going to tell you, do it. It's a great game.
Is it first?
It's a first-person shooter. You're not going to like it.
No, I hate. You see, that's the reason why I don't play the Call of Duty games.
I hate first-person shooters too. But this one's enjoyable.
I'll take your word for it. But as our producer knows, I can't stand first-person shooters. I like the third-person, three-dimensional, seeing the character in the scene. Looks like you're watching a movie or a cartoon or whatever the situation calls for.
Right.
I don't like just seeing the gun. That's lame.
Right. That's fair.
That's fair. Me, that's just lame.
That's fair. Check the chat. There's the sea creature set. But number 23, one of the greatest products put out because of the detail, is the Halo Warthog.
I mean, the figures look badass. I'm not going to deny that. They look badass. But
I think my thing with that line that's in the chat is that they came with like the mini dioramas, and I've always found that to be super cool.
Yeah, well, from what you've told me in the past, dioramas are big for you, so, and I respect that.
Yeah, for me, but it's because it takes that little piece of plastic, that collectible toy that you have,
right,
and it puts it actually in a scene that you recognize. Like Gravedigger Daryl, didn't he come with a base?
I believe he came with a little pile of dirt with a cross. I believe.
Right.
When I got it, somebody gave it to me. Just all I have with him is the figure and the shovel. I didn't get anything else.
Right, but that figure, it came with a diorama piece.
Right.
So you could have Gravedigger Daryl digging that grave.
Right.
And for me, that's a little bit more of it. It's taking it in depth. Yeah, I'm a diorama guy. You've seen my collection. I've got a locker room diorama. I've got an arena diorama, complete with lighting.
Right.
Like, dioramas are big for me because it brings just a little extra to what you have.
No, I completely agree. I mean, I've seen... I'm not going to mention his name because you're not a big fan of his, a YouTube personality who collects figures too, but that's all I'm going to say. We all know who I'm talking about.
Oh, just say it.
I'm shit about that.
I know, because I know you don't like Dan. I know you don't like Grimm. I know you're not a big fan of Grimm.
I'm not like petty about it. I'm not like going to go off or anything about him.
But like, I saw him actually design a raw set with the barricades. He actually did one with an entire barricade surrounding it with stairs, which I thought was actually really cool because he designed it himself. He bought all the – I think it's through toy figures. I think you could get accessories.
You can go through Action Figure or FiguresToyCompany.com, shameless plug, and you can also go through RingsideCollectibles.com.
I think that's where he got them, at Ringside.
Well, I mean, Ringside's got everything. If you're doing like the full arena sets, the only thing they don't have is the crowd. Now, I lucked out. WWE did some crowd pieces. We talked about those in episode one.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Ringside.com. And but if you go to Ringside, like you can get the chairs.
Right.
You can get the actual off ringside matting. You can get the barricade. Fuck, they're doing pop-up entrances now for AEW and shit. And we're talking full scale.
So pretty much you're telling me they're just reselling the old TNA sale.
Kinda.
Kinda.
It's a cardboard pop-up.
I've definitely seen him use the cardboard pop-up. I mean, I've seen it in a bunch of his videos before because he's living in his old house again with his new wife.
You got to make sure you don't bleed all over it because that's against corporate policy now.
Now, let me say, if you're looking for background stuff, if you're looking for the inside of an arena, if you're looking for the inside of a building, if you're looking for a cabin, a futuristic room, whatever, you're going to want to go to extremesets.com. They're a little pricey. They are second to none. I currently have like a $90 arena set sitting in my cart on their website. And it is 3 feet tall, 6 feet long. And it is a full background arena and a 3D floor area.
Interesting.
And the 3D floor area is individual cutouts. Anyways, we're going to U-turn on this street. We're going to go back down. We're going to hit the McFarland list again. We're getting lower on the list. We're at number 22. We're back at Spawn with the Dark Ages line, which is one of my personal favorites, Berserker and the Troll.
That looks pretty fucking badass, I got to say.
The detail on that figure is seriously beautiful.
Do you have this?
There's detail in the arms. I had him. He's a regret. I regret quite a few. I have one McFarlane figure in my collection. It's McFarlane Sports, and motherfuckers can pry it from my cold, dead hands.
And that's who?
Cooperstown Collection, Ozzie Smith, mid-backflip.
Respect.
And I ran across that. I shit you not. Ronnie has seen a picture of this place. In a small town, middle of nowhere, at a general store that's reopened, and it's still pretty much all original from 1819.
Wow.
And I stopped in there, and they had this section marked toys. And, of course, being a toy collector, I'm like, let's take a look. And boom, right there. Ozzie Smith. And I was like, fucking souls, lady. I want that, and I want to buy that entire pan of peach cobbler. I know this has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but that was the best fucking peach cobbler I've ever had.
I was going to say, what's the collectible value on the cobbler?
I bought a piece of it earlier that day, because this was over deer season. And came back after we were done.
I am a man!
Welcome to Chili's.
Hi, welcome to Chili's.
I was just like, I want this Ozzie Smith figure, and I want to know how much for that entire pan of peach cobbler. I went back the next morning and bought the next day the entire.
So how much was the cobbler and how much was the Ozzie?
I paid $22 for the Aussie. I paid $10 for the pie.
What?
Best $30-something dollars you ever spent.
What the fuck?
Ever. Loved every minute of it. Okay. Next is another character from the McFarlane just insanity line. Poacher number two. Hey, hold on 1 second, gentlemen.
Okay.
Jesus!
I'll jump on while he's doing this. No, but dialing it back, we'll get into some wrestling talk real quick. Did you see the band move list for AEW now?
Yeah, I saw Grimm put out a video about that.
How dumb is that?
Well, he claims one of the things was because of what happened with him. Did you see what happened with him?
Hey, he's going to always say stuff that's going to happen to him.
Well, no, this actually did happen to him. It was when Cody was teaming, was going against Malachi. Cody threw Malachi over the barricade, and he hit his wife. He hit Tina. And then he started friggin' clubbing on Malachi.
But you're talking about something when Cody was there a year ago.
Oh, this was 2 years ago. Pre-pandemic, I think.
My point exactly. It shouldn't really matter. It would, at that point, it's like, oh, well, so-and-so, this happened when I was still there. Well, then did it really? 2 years ago, it would have changed by the time, it would have changed the minute that happened.
Okay, I'm back, by the way.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
We were just bullshitting about the AEW rule changes.
Oh, yeah.
And how they pretty much just, personally, I think they just neutered themselves.
They did. And they're going to learn the hard way.
Oh, what was our big thing? Oh, we were an indie with a TV deal.
No, they were out of business. They were a t-shirt company with a TV deal.
And this is why Impact Wrestling had better fucking work. We'll talk about Impact on Wednesday.
Yeah. So McFarlane, and they gave us this killer killer figure named Poacher 2. And this is just it's a biped elephant with a fucking sword.
Looks interesting.
I mean, look, this is just the level of the creativity that was coming out of McFarlane. And while we're talking about the creativity of McFarlane, we can't forget number 20 on the list, which is from the McFarlane Dragon series. I don't know if you remember that or knew anything about it.
Not really.
He put out some of the most beautifully sculpted dragons ever.
It looks just, I'm looking at the picture as we speak, and I wish we could display them on the screen, but I know, well, eventually that'll happen down the line, but it's just sick the way it looks. I mean, it's just the detail in the skin, the teeth, the eyes,
exactly.
The wings.
And that's something that it's going to be really hard to get from digital sculpting.
Right.
Like, that's representation of talented artists.
Now, here's a question. Now, with your 3D printer, could you replicate something like that, or you couldn't even come close?
I could replicate it, but the detail would be there, but it wouldn't be the same.
Right.
You know, you would lose your articulation.
Obviously.
Unless you went with an articulated print, and those kind of suck sometimes. But it could be, I could reproduce it, but I would not want to slap God in the face.
Okay. I'll leave it at that, but I get your point. I see your point.
Yeah, no, look, when it comes to dragons, nobody beats McFarlane. Nobody touches McFarlane. I will die on that hill.
Oh, when we get to what I'm going to, I have it already, the picture saved. I'm not sending it until we're done with what we're doing. But I'm going to say.
I don't need to see your balls tonight.
No, it's not that. So fuck you in the neck. no, but it was something McFarlane put out that I had a chance that I had in my hands, but I put it down and I've regretted it ever since. But when we get to, if it's not on the list, we'll show it. I'll show it towards the end. I'll share it in the Skype chat and discuss it, because to this day it's haunted me, and I've tried to find it, but I could never find it for a reasonable price. But we'll get to it when we get to it, so let's move on.
Let's move on. All right. The next one comes from the 98 line. That is the Spawn comic line. And it was Cygor 2. A half cyborg, half ape. Where could the world go wrong? Here's one thing that you got to think about with this figure. We don't have a movie about this yet.
Is that supposed to be King Kong?
No, it's just an ape.
A generic ape.
A cybernetic generic ape.
Okay. It looks sick. It looks like Terminator meets King Kong.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't a popular character in the comics, but the figure was hot.
I can see why.
Detail, man. It's the detail.
Oh, totally.
Like, and the more you look at it, the more you're just like, what the fuck? You know?
Yeah.
And it's, again, it's just, I mean, this is the creativity. Nothing against Imagineers, but Imagineers ain't got shit on McFarlane's.
Oh, no, totally, no. I've seen a lot of figure lines come and go in my lifetime, and yes, if you make an old joke, I swear I will punch you in the dick. The fact is that when I was younger, they didn't have the creativity that they have now.
Right.
I almost – there's times where I wish I could be a kid again just so I could get some of the cool-ass shit that they got now. But, you know, it's like – it was just the detail, I think, is what really sets the figures apart from the ones like when I had them when I was growing up to the what they have now. The attention to detail is what's sickening.
Yes.
If if they took the G.I. Joes that I had when I was younger, the little ones, like I said, the swivel arms like we discussed earlier, I could only imagine the detail that they would go into now with them. I could only imagine.
Moving on, we're getting close to the top 10. Number 18 is another one from the Walking Dead series. I remember people going absolutely nuts for this figure. I don't have it, but...
I have it!
But like you, my sister-in-law, huge collector of this line, that would be the Walking Dead Daryl Dixon with his motorcycle.
I have it. It's sitting on my shelf as we speak, and I'm staring right at it as we speak. It's sitting right on my desk, on top of my desk.
Here's my only question about Daryl Dixon and his motorcycle in The Walking Dead.
Okay.
How did none of the gas ever go bad?
Dude, I don't know. How did half the shit go on in The Walking Dead that it did? I don't know.
Like how did Carl
get shot and killed?
Oh, it was Rick's fault.
Oh, God.
But we'll dive more into the authenticity and the detail of the Walking Dead figures whenever we do our Walking Dead episode next season.
But all I know is, like I said, I do currently own this. Like I said, I don't remember where I got it, but I got it relatively quick when it first came out. Because like you said, the second this was released, people lost their fucking mind over it.
They went absolutely nuts.
You couldn't find it. And then we talked about them earlier, those lovely scalpers. I was seeing these at flea markets. I paid $19.99 at a Toys R Us for it. I saw it at flea markets, eBay, going for $50, $75, even over $100 in some spots.
Yep, because of the supply and demand, man. It hits the coast. It trickles inland.
Well, like I said, I still have mine. I looked on eBay recently as we're speaking about this. You could get it for about $30, $40.
Well, I mean, not all McFarlane toys hold their value, but that's only the value of it now. Wait until the Walking Dead show is completely over. Hold on to that figure for another 10 years.
Well, let me put it to you this way. When we get into the Walking Dead line, I have a lot of stories that I want to share with that, but let's keep moving on so we don't.
All right. Number 17 on our list is Series 20 Violator 3.
Is this another Spawn character?
This is another Spawn villain.
Okay.
This is the clown. When you piss him off, he becomes the Violator. And honestly, the Violator might be one of the coolest characters ever created. He's tall. He's lanky. He's a monstrosity. He's got that super long lower jaw, all the fucking razor sharp teeth, and the horns by his eyes.
You know what that looks like to me? That looks like the Rancor from fucking Star Wars.
No way, dude. This thing would butt fuck the Rancor from Star Wars.
But I'm just saying, the way it looks in the picture that it is, when I scrolled down and saw that, the first thing that popped into my mind was the Rancor from Return of the Jedi.
Because of the horns?
The horns, the way it looks, the way it's posed with the hands, it reminds me of the Rancor.
It's way smaller than the Rancor. But yeah,
I know what you're saying, but it's just that...
I see what you're saying. I can see it. I can see it. Number 16 on the list is another one from the McFarlane Dragons line. That is the Fire Dragon. It's a beautiful figure. I just wish that they would have went with a different color palette.
I mean, the green doesn't look bad. With the green doesn't look bad.
No, but I mean, just like the fires, you know, the fire color indicators, the red, orange, and yellow on the spines on the back, it just seems a little cliche.
Right.
You know, like all dragons are green, and you can tell if it's a fire dragon or an ice dragon or an elder dragon by the spines on its back.
Right.
That's just lame.
Yeah.
But it is a beautiful.
Oh,
it's
totally.
A cool pose. Number 15 on the list.
This is something I wish I'd owned. I wish I'd owned this because this is badass.
I'm sure you can still find him online at a reasonable price. But we're talking about the biggest badass of 1987. RoboCop, and he shot a guy in the dick.
Dead or alive, you're coming with me.
How can you be a cop and shoot someone in their dick?
Through her dress, I might add.
Like, wow, RoboCop, wow. I'm not going to say that on air.
Go ahead, say it.
No, RoboCop started the transgender community.
Oh, Jesus! After the show goes off to the air, we'll be saying, hi, welcome to what?
Hi, welcome to Chili's. Oh, man.
I am a man!
And we're canceled.
How you doing?
Dummy! Dummy! Yeah! Yeah!
Yeah! Yeah! I'm a
Anyway, go ahead.
Stop! He's already dead!
Next up on our list, another movie franchise, licensee, The Predator. McFarlane's done it these, and he just keeps outdoing himself each and every time. It's insane.
The detail. I'm looking in the picture that's on the page. The detail in the mouth with the teeth and the way it opens up.
Yep.
Like, what was the thing from Stranger Things? The Demogorgon.
The Demogorgon.
That kind of reminds me of the Demogorgon. I mean, he was the original Demogorgon in my eyes.
I mean, he's still the Predator, and he's still a badass.
Damn right.
Next up on the list, number 13, which is some straight bullshit. He should be much higher. The Clown.
I remember this.
This is the alter ego of Violator.
Right.
This is what he looks like when he's just walking around on Earth. Famously played by John Leguizamo. Yeah.
Correct.
I was going to say, that is John Leguizamo.
But he's just, the official description is a disgusting, violent, homicidal maniac.
And he's John Wayne Gacy, in other words.
Not even, dude. He's worse.
Worse than Gacy?
He's like physically disgusting.
Oh, would you look at this right here? Just fucking not a tongue. Fuck you, John Leguizamo. Dude, he played such a sweet ball.
He played the clown perfectly.
Oh, yeah.
I have to go right back and rewatch this fucking movie.
Oh, the movie's horrible.
The movie's so bad.
The only good thing about the movie is the Violator, is fucking John Leguizamo as the clown. The movie is awful.
So bad it's good, though.
It's the worst CGI you will ever see in a film.
Well, when did the movie come out? What was it, like the late
90s? 97,
okay.
I was going to say late 90s.
You know what? If it's just us three, maybe we can bring back a review show.
And watch Spawn?
And do Spawn.
I'd be down for that.
The CGI would be... Oh, God, the CGI is awful!
Bring back from rail to heel again.
No. It would be under new management. We bring back and we call it. And I go back to the OG and call back. Go back to the Blind Side.
Whatever. All right, but let's move on.
All right, let's check down the list a little bit more. We're gonna go to number 12, Series 17 Spawn, and this is another Spawn figure that has just like a killer pose.
It's just a statue, right? This is just a statue.
And it was a show of that the cape, the fucking cape with the chains. It's just, I mean, it's iconic for Spawn. It's like the bat signal or Clark Kent tearing open his shirt to reveal Superman's chest. That cape and the chains are like their Spawn's superpower.
Right. What was Spawn's weakness? Did he have a weakness like other superheroes?
The love of his wife.
No. He had an actual weakness. It was, I can't remember what they called it, but he had it. It was this green shit.
It's not kryptonite, is it?
No.
It's not kryptonite, but it's light kryptonite. It's the only thing. It's like, you know, his green eyes.
Yeah.
He had to go back to hell to recharge.
It's like that shit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Number 11.
Michael J. White. That's all he got to say.
Another one is the McFarlane movie Monsters. It came with the base, and it was Alien Queen.
That looks sick, man. Is that Ripley that's on that light? That looks like a diorama, too. Is that Ripley?
It is Ripley.
Okay.
And here's the thing with the movie Monsters is they were dioramas. The King Kong one, the Jaws, Alien, like these things were just set. And then the Crow had a fucking killer two-pack of the sword fight at the end. Like McFarlane thought outside the box for these dioramas and brought shit that people really wanted to see.
Right.
And the Queen of the Xenomorphs with Ripley slimed to the wall. Yeah, that's a killer one.
Oh, yeah, it looks totally awesome, dude.
All right, are we ready to hit the top 10?
Let's do this.
So, coming in at number 10, Samurai Warrior Spawn.
This I've never heard of, and I've seen a lot of what you've taught, we've shown me tonight. This I have never seen.
So, there are some figures that McFarlane releases simply for the love of the creation of the comic book and the artistry that's going to come with the figure. Most of them are not super poseable. They might have a few points of articulation. This was one of them.
Okay.
And the detail on this figure from the head to the toe is fucking gorgeous. It is a great representation of ancient samurai, but with the appeal of the Spawn universe.
Right.
Yeah, that was it was part of a two-pack, but I don't remember who he came with.
I mean, just the articulation and like I said, I keep going back to it because it's a big sticking point with me. It's because I just love the little small details.
The little small details, yeah. For the first time on the list at number 9, we're going to step into where McFarlane put his hand into anime.
Our producer will be happy about this because I know he's a big fan of anime.
I am hoping he will weigh in on how this Akira collectible looks.
I completely forgot he did Akira. Hold on, I gotta look this back up because I completely forgot he did freaking Akira.
I heard of Akira, but I never, like I said, I've never personally been into anime.
Have you? If you've seen anybody do the slide out on a motorcycle, like they do this freaking side swipe and they freaking leg drag the leg out, that is strictly called the Akira slide. That is known for that movie.
Oh, wait. You mean whenever they lean way in and get their knee on the ground?
Yes.
Yeah.
That is literally called the Akira slide because it was famous from that.
Gotcha. Are you ready to weigh in on this?
Hold on. I just pulled it up.
Scroll on down and mark
yep.
out, sir.
Akira and the motorcycle. Mm-hmm. Literally, it's probably the fuck. The face. This is me nitpicking. The motorcycle's perfect. There's nothing wrong with the motorcycle.
I like how the wheel says "Hold on."
The face seems very
generic.
Print. When did this come out?
I'm not sure what year this came out.
Doesn't give a year in the description, so.
Like, it says it's one of his popular toys. I can see that because the film is such a popular film. The film is pretty much the, for Americans, it was the birth of anime. Like, everyone would be like, oh, well, the 50s. Produced the original anime, which is Astro Boy. But it was Akira that put it mainstream.
Well, let me ask you this. Now, you could probably tell me I'm nuts with this one. There was a movie called Alita. Is that based off of an anime, or
yes.
is that just...
Alita actually has done more. They're actually planning on making a sequel. Alita, though, is based off an anime... it's weird. Alita is one of those where it kind of looks like it should be a copy of, it looks like of Akira, but it's not.
Because I saw that movie and the movie's pretty cool. I think I kind of dug the movie, but I didn't know if that was based on it. I didn't know if I'm stepping out of my bounds.
Manga, more of a manga, which is the comic book. Style of
because she was CG, right? She was all CG, right?
No,
that was an actress in that costume.
That was an actress in that costume, and they mo-capped her.
Oh, okay.
This was one of the highest grossing films of its time, which was like $150 to $200 million
to make, or it made
to make.
How much did it make in the box office?
$400 million.
Huh.
Yeah, no, it was a massive success.
And I mean, but at the same time, too, the cast also helped. You had, with that movie, you had Jennifer Connelly, Christopher Waltz, Ed Shurkin. You stacked it.
Right.
But it is based off of, I believe it's based, Akira is based off of an anime and a manga.
Yes, it's based off manga.
But it's also kind of like how... Have you ever watched the Beyond the Matrix movie?
I have not watched a single Matrix movie.
Or Aeon Flux.
Never watched that either.
It's kind of like that. That kind of art style, it's kind of like that.
Okay.
I know what those are, but I've never watched them.
The Matrix one, I actually want to go back. That might be something we do, too, because I kind of want to go back and watch some of these old 2000 animes, because I've been watching a lot of FX stuff, and I want to go back and start seeing how good this is. I've never watched Akira, though, and I've heard great things about this freaking movie. It's also a James fucking Cameron movie.
Oh, Jesus. All right, we're getting off track here.
No, because Farland and Cameron talked about fucking half of the shit that, like, Lucas and Cameron have done.
Right.
Yeah, right. So it's not really off topic. It's just, it is what it is. But, yeah, no. The next one.
Number eight
is from the Movie Maniac line. It is Jareth the Goblin King.
David fucking Bowie.
And his codpiece.
And, dude, let me just tell you, this is one of the hardest Movie Maniac figures to find. And if you do find it, you're going to pay for it.
No pun intended.
You're going to pay.
Don't say it.
Upwards of triple digits, let me just
say that. There you go. Because I thought you were going to say something else, and I'm like, don't. We just talked about David Bowie's codpiece. Don't say what I think you're going to say.
It's to pay a load for it.
pay up the ass for it.
Movie Maniac is one of my absolute favorite lines, and it's because he covered so much in it. And they all look so friggin' cool. Next on the list, number 7, is King Conan from Conan 2.
Now, that's the comic book version, right?
That's the comic book version.
That's not Arnold.
Oh, it's not Arnold.
We're still waiting for that fucking movie.
Apparently, it might be happening.
Yeah.
We can talk about that later. After Conan, coming in at number 6 is Akira.
It shows its age.
It does. I'm sure it would be much better now, but...
I'm going to say this, and don't take this the wrong way. This one looks very hokey.
The stand is better. Honestly, the stand on this is better than the Akira figure.
Yes.
That one to me just looks, I mean, out of all the figures that I've seen tonight, that one looks the most hokey to me.
True.
I mean, you got to remember, though, freaking Akira is, mid-80s?
I think so.
So you're talking about mid-80s? You're talking about mid-80s figs? Where it's all hand done.
Yeah.
Well, all McFarlane stuff was pretty much hand done.
Yeah, but now it can be mass produced in more. Sorry, Akira was 91.
Yeah.
88 film, but it was in America in 91, so 88.
Number 5, I would have ranked this one higher personally.
I want it's this.
It might cost you a hand. Anything.
Boo! You stink!
Anything people said, anything Army of Darkness is going to be ridiculous. There is a line of like 3¾-inch figures by Palisade Toys. And they are high on my list, but they're expensive little fuckers.
That has to sit on my desk.
Ash and the Pit Witch, I'm not sure what that one's going for right now. Let's find out.
Don't make me cry.
I'm going to make you cry tonight. So the McFarlane, Ash and Pit Witch. You want them loose or in box?
I would prefer it loose because then that way I can display it on my desk.
It's like a $10 difference.
All right, so what's the $10 difference?
So inbox, it looks like you're going to spend upwards of $70 bucks for it, depending on the condition of the box. If you want them loose, it's going to be $50 plus $10 shipping.
Oh, well, I mean, the way you were describing it, like I was going to say, it's going to be like 3-4 figures, you know, type of thing.
No, no, there's some out there that are. Not this one. I just wanted to say it'll cost you a hand because it's Ash.
Yeah, and that's why he went, boo!
You stink!
The problem with the Movie Maniac set with this line was that most of these figures were clamshell fronts on cardboard backs.
Right.
Easy to open for display. Hard to keep in pristine condition throughout the years. Cardboard.
You suck, you jackass.
Cardboard corpse, man. Another one, number 4, that it ranks higher on the list from the Movie Maniac line is the Lord of Darkness from Legend.
Tom Cruise. Running away from his gay thoughts. and being chased by the legendary Tim motherfucking Curry.
Yes. Chased by the legendary Tim motherfucking Curry. Immortalized in plastic. I haven't seen this movie in a really long time, but I will say it is one of the best roles Tim Curry did. The horns were always ridiculous to me.
Okay.
They were too big, right?
Yeah.
Nothing's too big.
Number 3 on the list. We're about to wrap this list up. And we're going to wrap this season up shortly after that.
And I have my few little things that I have to discuss, but then after that, we're done.
Number 3 is actually a line, and it was a line that none of us saw coming, and when it came out, fans went fucking nuts for it. That is Where the Wild Things Are.
I've heard of the movie, I've never seen it.
Fuck the movie!
Fuck the movie, dude. This is a book. I remember reading it as a kid.
I don't remember that, no.
Fucking, this is a classic!
Absolutely.
The movie was dog shit.
Didn't the movie have James Gandolfini doing a voice?
No, I don't think so. I could be wrong, but no, the movie was complete ass.
Yeah, the movie was fucking terrible, dude.
The book is what is, it's a children's book first.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It is a children's book first. One of the greatest children's books of all time. Ask any book collector, they'll have it. They'll have it. Guaranteed.
Unless they'll try to cancel it.
Ranking in at number 2 is another Spawn original. And no matter how many times they've redesigned this character, he always looks like a complete fucking badass. One of my favorite Spawn villains. Overkill. I do remember this is the first Spawn figure I got. Of course, it was the original one. He was a little bulkier. And his head shot off.
Looks pretty fucking sick, I must say.
Dude, he'd beat the shit out of Bane.
He's the original beefed-up bad guy.
I think Bane came first, but like in pro wrestling, it's not about who does it first.
Who does it better.
It's about who does it better. And Overkill, just as his name implies, fucking kills it. And then finally, at number 1... one of the coolest, most detailed, just fucking dopest, art-inspired Spawn figures, Mandarin Spawn.
That looks right. I'm looking at the picture now. It looks like, I hate to use this analogy, but it looks like it's got small Oscar masks in there.
Right.
Am I wrong in saying that?
Well, it's a Mandarin.
It's a kabuki mask.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's supposed to be a Mandarin spawn, so that's actually, like, that fits the culture.
Absolutely. But no, you're not wrong in asking that or saying that, because, I mean, that's who they're associated with wrestling fans now, but it's actually called a kabuki mask.
Oh, I know it's called a kabuki mask, but it just, when I see that, when I first looked at the picture, because I'm waiting to scroll down with each time you do it, the first thing I noticed was the mask.
Yeah, well, I mean, it stands out.
Right.
It's clearly a reference point that the artist wanted people to take notice of. Which is dope.
Oh, totally.
It's that little... That has got to be one of the most intricately detailed figures I've ever seen. And I have been collecting these things for a long time, I think. A long time. Did you get it up there, buddy?
Okay, Sheiky.
Yeah, calm down there, Sheiky.
Ah, fucking Hulk Hogan.
You jabroni. Now.
Oh, fucking bullshit.
All right, I'm going to send these two pictures now, and then when I send them, I'll explain why I sent the two of them like I did. The first one, the Jaws one.
Okay.
I had a chance to get this for $10 because I didn't buy it because the box looked roached. And now I can't fucking find it anywhere for a decent price. I have regretted that since the minute I didn't buy it.
Oh, yeah, Movie Maniac. Or Movie Monsters.
This diorama was Quint's boat. I mean, I don't know if our producer can put it up, but it's like, the one is, it's Quint's boat being sunk at the end of Jaws with
yep.
the shark coming on the deck.
Yes.
The box was totally trashed, but the piece inside was immaculate. It was $10 and I didn't buy it. And I kick myself square in the ass every time I think about it.
Yeah, dude, because somebody made a score.
And the second thing I sent was a set that I have two of currently from one of my favorite fucking hockey movies.
Oh, the McFarlane
Slap Shots. I have two sets. I have a set that's breathing, and I have a set that's in the boxes. Unfortunately, the plastic turned yellow, but I still have a box set in the box. This, you could actually make a diorama of the rink.
Yeah.
I fucking love these figures.
Those were statuettes.
I fucking love these things.
He also did the McKenzie Brothers.
I have those as well. I have one set in the box, one set open. The reason I got those is when KB Toys, if you remember that brand.
I love KB.
You know how much I paid for each of these? $3.98 each.
How about you, Finny?
And same thing with Bob and Doug.
KB was the king of toy deals.
I bought two sets of these and two sets of Bob and Doug.
Yeah.
And the girl goes behind, she goes, "The hell do you need two sets for?" And I said the exact line we said all tonight. I said, "I have to open one and I have to let one breathe." And she looked at me like I was nuts. But that's the way collectors thought back then.
That's the way collectors still think, my friend.
Yeah, but a lot of them don't say it out loud like I did. But anyway, but no, those were two that weren't. I didn't want to put them up there unless they were in the top 20. But the Jaws set and the Slapshot set, I completely forgot about Bob and Doug. But the thing I loved about Bob and Doug, each of them talked.
Yeah.
Something to say about "Shut up, hoser," and it's like "loo coo 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 coo." But we did a review of when we had our movie show, we did a review of Strange Brew, and everybody hated it except me. But
and with that being said, I think it's time for us to pull this into the station and close the chapter on season one of Misfit Toy Collector. Can I get an A?
Amen.
I just said an A.
I said amen.
Oh, hey-o.
Hey-o. All right. So, with that being said, man, I want to thank you for tuning in each and every week. We'll be back in a few weeks. We're going to take a little break, get a little research done. And when we come back with season two, we're going to be talking about the starting lineup.
That's my purse! I don't know you!
So until then, we don't give a shit what you collect, as long as you collect it. If you like us, tell your friends. If you hate us, tell your enemies. Either way, get the name out there or go fuck yourself. We'll see you next time.
Onita! Onita! Onita!